I wonder what the water treading record really is. Maybe no one knows. Maybe it's held by some guy like me who treaded water for days and then went belly up.
Stop it. Stop.
Welcome to I Used to Watch This, the podcast where we watch our favorite shows from the 70s and 80s and see what we think of them today. Here are our hosts, Mike Forgetto and Mike Sullivan.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Watch This. I'm Mike Forgetto.
And I'm Mike Sullivan.
How's it going, Mike?
Going well. How you doing?
Just great. Perfect.
My hand's recovering after our couple hours at the retro arcade.
Yeah, we were talking about this. We went to an arcade, like you said, a retro arcade, like all the classic games. Right. I mean, not anything you can ask for. But a
almost.
Lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a lot of walking around going, oh my God, do you remember this game? Oh my God, do you remember this game?
Right.
And like literally we didn't know where to, I didn't know where to start. Like, remember I said that to you, I go, I don't even know which one to play first. But you had something you wanted to play first.
Yes. Yeah. It was
once you saw it.
I forgot what it's called again. I
Dragon's Lair.
Dragon's Lair, yes. So I was saying to Mike, I'm like, yeah, there was, you know, this Dragon's Lair game. I think it was on like Laserdisc or something like that. It was like some new concept for video games. And it was like, I think it was like 50 cents back in the day.
Yeah.
And every time I would play, I would like die at the first scene. It's because like I couldn't grasp the concept of knowing like when I was supposed to move. Because it was like a combination of like watching a cartoon and playing a video game.
Uh-huh. And
so I got to relive that exactly the way I remember it. So when I played, 30 years later or 40 years later, let's say 35 years later, I died the exact same spot. So
yeah, Mike was extremely frustrated. Like immediately, he's like, "This is the same fucking thing. It's the same problem."
It brought me back. It was like a time machine.
Yeah. Well, right, because that game was weird, though. Like you said, it's like it didn't react like normal games. You had to almost react before you
right,
even knew what you had to react to.
Like you said it, like you have to move, and then you have to kind of wait to see what happens, like to see if you die or if you made it. But
it was not great. But it was a lot of fun, though. It was a lot of cool games. And then at one point, I remember we were downstairs. I forgot what you were playing or what we were playing, I should say. And then I saw these people go up the stairs. I'm like, there's more upstairs. I'm like, holy shit, we got...
Yeah.
Like, upstairs wasn't as good, I will say, in my opinion. But it did have a speed racer game.
It still had some good ones. Some good ones. All right, so this place is called, in case anyone cares, it's the Underground Retro Arcade or UndergroundRetrocade.com.
Yeah.
And they literally had like 200 retro video games and pinball machines.
Yeah, you go in, pay $20, and play as much as you want. It's great.
Yeah, it was good time.
Mm-hmm. And I will say though that I was disappointed in one game. So they did have a Star Wars game, like the original Star Wars, like the, I don't know if you want to call it vector graphics version or whatever you want to call it, but they did have that. But they also had the trilogy game, which I remember that being out, but that was not working, unfortunately. Which, you know, games that are 30, 35 years old, they're, you know.
Right. It's hit or miss.
It's understandable. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It just means we'll have to go back, that's all. But I have footage of Mike playing several of these games, so we'll put something together for that.
And I think I have footage of you playing Dragon's Lair, too. dying immediately.
I'm just going to name a few. Tron, Galaga, Galaxian, Bump and Jump, Defender.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Damn, it was good. Frogger, Track and Field, Robotron. it's awesome. I want to go back now. Good stuff. There was an Aerosmith game that I don't remember. Revolution X.
Yeah, that was later. That was, you know.
Okay. Speed Racer, Mortal Kombat, Karate Champ. Good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Reach and then back. They had that. I had forgotten about the game until Mike and I started playing this Atari football game where it literally just had X's and O's on the screen. It was black and white and had the giant trackball like a missile command. And I think that was where we got the biggest workout, like making that thing
because that
run
ball,
down the field.
That trackball, first of all, was like an oversized trackball. It, it felt like it weighed as much as a bowling ball. And you're trying to spin the thing with as fast as you can with all your might.
Right.
You know? It's like an Olympic sport.
Uh-huh.
But, and you're just X's and O's. But still, you know what?
Like, and they had still four plays to choose from. Yeah. It was fun, though.
It was
still
a big thrill. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah. And then we ended up tied on that one. It was funny. And then, so that was fun. It was a lot of fun.
It was good stuff.
We were tired by the end. And we weren't even
we burnt out.
Yeah.
A couple hours.
We got too excited, I think.
Yeah. Plus, we sucked at everything. But.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, I was never great at video games anyway. I love playing them. But there was no game that I'm I am the master at this.
Yeah, you know? Me neither. I mean, I was decent and then at some, but yeah.
Yeah, and then we played, it was, which I guess was renamed Galaga 3 later or whatever. That was impossible. Oh, yeah. Remember how fast those things were? It was like the same idea of Galaga, but the little bugs that came at you were like 100 times faster. It was like impossible.
Yeah, and they would like double in speed every board or every wave. So it was like totally crazy.
Yeah.
But
still a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's a good way to kill a Saturday.
Yes. Yes.
I could do it again. I could do it any Saturday.
Yep. It only took us how long to get there this time?
Six years.
We've been talking about it a lot while. So anyway, I don't know if you have a new one, but remember we did the trivia question. We got some answers. We'll reach out to the winner later. I don't want to do it on here, so we'll talk about that later.
Okay. All right.
And I didn't know if you had another trivia question.
I don't. I forgot. Okay. Do you have one?
No, I don't. Yeah, so we'll figure out when we're not gonna probably I don't care. I'll say it.
Wow.
So we were talking to my wife who came up with the idea, and we told her what we did. She's like, "You did it wrong." I'm like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "No, what you do is you give the question out, and then the answer you put on your social, so people have to go find it." I'm like, "Oh," but we wanted to give a shirt away, so that's one of the reasons why we did it that way. So we'll reach out later. Like I said, to. You know, make sure they get it.
To the prize winner.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we'll come up with different trivia questions going forward. We'll post on social media the answer.
Yes.
Like we're supposed to. Okay. All right.
All right. Have you been watching anything?
So only a couple of things. Not any like TV series or anything, but I watched the movie yesterday, you know, about the Beatles.
Oh, Was that any good?
The World Forgets About the Beatles. I don't know. Like, I thought it was okay, and I'm an easy critic, so I liked it. But like, my wife was like, "That was stupid." At the end, I'm like, "Oh, I liked it." And then I talked to one of my kids, and they're like, "It was okay." I'm like, "Oh, I liked it." So, I mean, it was, you know, it's what you expect. It's just entertaining.
Yeah,
it's not like. Believable or anything, you know?
Did he wake up from a dream at the end or something? Is that what it was?
No, so he got like
spoiler alert for a movie from 6 years ago.
Spoiler alert, not a new movie. This guy gets like hit by a car, and when he like comes to, no one remembers the Beatles and a couple other things. Like they've been erased from the world as we know it.
The world's memory, not just his. Even though he was
not just
hit by a car.
No, he remembers it, like.
Right.
Him and like.
I'm sorry. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a scattered few people in the world actually remember it. But so, you know, he basically reintroduces the Beatles to the world by plagiarizing. But it was good. I liked it. I thought it was good.
I mean, so what was the end, though? Was the end like.
at the end, he's like famous for having all these kick-ass songs.
Oh, and then he just, so it wasn't he like just confesses. The Beatles came back, like everything got caught up.
He's okay. Just like, he's like, look, I stole all this stuff from a band called the Beatles, and, you know, because of that, I suck or whatever. And then, you know, then everyone, okay. You know, he says that to like this huge audience after his gig. He goes to an Ed Sheeran concert and like does a couple songs at the Ed Sheeran concert and then tells everybody he's a fraud. And then he ends up being like a music teacher or something.
It does kind of sound like a dumb ending. I agree with your wife. You
know? Yeah. But yeah, okay. Anyway. So there was that. And then we watched this like documentary, What Jennifer Did, which
sounds familiar.
It's kind of dumb. This girl basically like kills her parents.
What did she do?
So,
oh.
I mean, kids don't kill people. Don't do that. That's my message.
I thought you were going to say kids don't do it. I'm like, what do you mean? I see what you're saying.
Well, they do, but I'm
you're telling kids, people not to do it.
PSA. Please don't kill people.
The more you know.
But yeah, she was just like, it was just dumb. Yeah, dumb kid. I don't know. Whatever. So it was a waste of my. It was a waste. So I'd rather watch Yesterday like, twice than watch.
Okay.
But how about you?
Sounds good.
What do you got?
I don't think I've watched. I was just trying to rack my brain to see.
This might be first.
I can't think of anything that I watched that was new. I was kind of busy the last.
Dang.
Week or so.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, well, for we finished Resident Alien, and I've been watching Ghosts, which I think I talked about before. That's been back. But I will say Dave Champa from Champa and Klein, the 80s Years podcast, who are in the midst of the A-Team, by the way. He posted a thing that, you know, about the show, the Resident Alien. He's like, you know, loving this show. I'm like, the show is awesome. He's like, I think I got it from you. Mentioning it on your podcast. So, which is great that someone's following my example. Also, yeah. Resident Alien people, if you want to, you know, throw a little something our way, we got at least one more person listening. It's got to be worth at least. I already have a t-shirt from the show, honestly. Maybe another shirt or something.
Okay.
A hat. A free trip to the set.
Yeah, a guest spot on the show.
Ooh, oh my god, that would be awesome, a guest spot.
Yeah.
Except they film in Vancouver, I think, so it'd be a little ways to go. But I'd do it.
Yeah,
I'd do it.
Right.
But yeah, no, I can't think of anything else I've watched. If well, I do, then. I'll yell it out like you did for Napoleon that one time. You're just like, Napoleon.
Yeah. Yeah. It just came to me. But,
yeah. Oh, speaking of which, can I just talk about your memory at the video game thing?
What memory?
Well, like your poor memory. So like
when
when Mike and I got there, the first thing we played was Time Pilot. And we sucked at it. We did poorly. Like we didn't even get out of the first wave. Which is pretty sad. I'm like, all right, that's enough of that. And then we walked, you know, like I said, that was our first one. We walked around, played a bunch of other games, and then we were walking, looking for anything else to play at the end. And Mike's like, oh, Time Pilot. And I'm like, yeah. We played that already. You
know, maybe I should be worried about my memory, but the thing is, it's not new. It's not like this is just starting to happen to me.
It's not
all
sudden,
my life
yeah.
I've been like that. So.
But it was pretty funny. Time Pilot.
Safe.
Do you know what that is? I'm like, yeah, we played it like 2 hours ago.
You're like, that's the first game we played.
So, it was pretty funny. Cool. It was humorous.
Maybe that's probably why I'm easily entertained. I just forget. So everything's like the first time for me.
You're like a goldfish, you know, it's just swimming around. Yeah. You forgot where you were.
All right. That's right. But tell you one thing. I remember this episode of Magnum PI.
How could you forget it?
I know. It
what which one?
And I'm going to say, all right, Magnum PI season 4. It's listed as episode 64. When did they?
That doesn't make any sense. Just, It's episode one. It's a
it's like of all the episodes ever, it's 64.
Yeah, IMDb shows episode one. Even though it's set on the 4th of July, it's episode one from September 29th of 1983.
Home from 83.
Pardon.
83, okay. Yeah. So Home from the Sea is the title. And I remember this episode because as a kid watching this, I thought to myself, how boring this episode was. For me as a teenager, it was a different experience for me watching it now, but
yeah,
as a teenager, I thought it was very boring.
Okay. I probably thought something along those lines too. I don't remember. I just remember it being, you know, not a big deal,
boring.
But like,
no, I'm just kidding.
Of all the things Mike remembers, he remembers this episode being boring.
Yeah. Well, and I know this is like a legendary episode too. You know?
Right.
This is like,
but yeah, I could understand as a young teen, right, early in your teen years, this would be pretty boring. Just,
yeah.
I mean, it wasn't one location, but essentially it was.
Yeah, yeah.
They do too. They jump right in. There's like no setup at all.
You're right. I was waiting for a bigger build up.
No. Right. He's like already
like
on his little
scene.
Tiny dinghy. Yeah. Yeah. So it starts off, he's on his tiny little, what does he call it? Ski? Surf ski. Is that still a term nowadays? I mean, it looks like it's not a kayak because you sit on top, but there's footrests in there. So
bodyboards? I don't know. I'm not
kind of
aquatic sportsman by any means.
Either way, I thought that was a tiny little thing to be out on the open water. Now granted, he was like in a bay, but still, that's, I would not feel safe on that thing out in the middle of the water in the ocean.
Right. Well, but I'll get into it a little bit when we get into the show, but I suck so bad at doing anything near the water that there's no way in hell I would go out on that thing.
Yeah.
But
not on the ocean.
Yeah, so I refer to it as a kayak throughout my notes. So
yeah, because it kind of is, but it isn't. You know, I'm sure people who are more into water sports know what we're talking about. But anyway, he does voiceover talking about how it's the 4th of July and he likes to be alone, and we kind of learn why throughout the whole episode. And then he immediately almost gets killed by a boat. A speedboat comes like flying by,
like in a second sentence, basically, like he's, you know, narrating, and it's like that early. This boat comes by and
nearly. I mean, we're like 10 seconds into the episode. I mean, it's
right.
They're not wasting any time getting him in that water.
That's right. Look at all.
And they don't notice him at all. Somehow, like even after they almost hit him. And he gets dumped in the water, and he's separated from his surf ski thing, and he's yelling at the guys, "You turkeys!" Which is a great late 70s, early 80s, not derogatory statement, but like something to yell at someone besides asshole, right?
On network television,
Right, on TV. I mean, maybe because
you don't
did it in real life, but I don't know.
Yeah, like you're stuck in traffic. You're going to yell at the guy next to you, like, "You turkey.
You turkey." But he's mad about losing some 120 goggles.
He lost his goggles, too.
Yeah. So I didn't notice him having them on. Were they goggles, or were they, like, sunglasses?
Yeah, they were goggles. Like, he was kind of, like, cleaning them when the boat came by to knock him up. And so he, like, dropped them out of his hands. But I was thinking, if you're going to be stranded at sea, you're going to want a pair of goggles. I would, anyway. I mean, I'd rather have the board, but...
if it was between the goggles and nothing, you want the goggles?
Yeah. I mean, because then you can at least, like, see underwater and stuff, so that's cool. But,
gotcha.
So, his board is missing, his goggles are missing. Did he have a paddle? He had a paddle, right?
Yeah. Yeah, everything's gone.
So the paddle's missing. He's screwed.
Right. And he knows the boat thing has to be close by, but he can't see it because of swells. And they were pretty high swells. that whole time.
Yeah, it was like suddenly they were very, very high. And I guess that's what disoriented him, kind of, because he lost his bearings.
Right, because like the like you wouldn't want to take that little tiny boat out if the swells were that high, I would think, right? Originally,
no, no. Yeah,
because even later you notice it on the boat when Rick is on the boat, and I'm like, "Whoa, man, I'm feeling like seasick just watching this on TV."
But you know, he's pretty badass though, because he's like, "And I'm 3 miles from shore, which is an easy swim for me." And I'm thinking, I don't even like to walk 3 miles. You know, he can swim 3 miles. That's badass.
Yeah. Well, he was What were they? In Vietnam,
they were,
Green Berets? No,
I don't know. Green Beret. Yeah, they did have the hats, right? So I don't know.
Yeah,
the berets. They were some. You know? So maybe that's what they were. But yeah, only being 3 miles from shore, there's still a risk because of the. I'm going to try to pronounce it. Molokai Express.
Yeah.
He
says Molokai. High speed current. You know, he pronounces it Molokai more correctly than we do. But yeah.
More correctly.
Well, okay. You know what I mean. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I believe there's an apostrophe in there, and you always got to do that on the syllable, right? And
yeah, he's from the islands. Right. He knows. We don't.
Yeah, yeah. He knows how it's supposed to be pronounced. He's got people who are from there, so.
But it's a current that can sweep him away to Alaska.
So right.
So he says.
I didn't do any follow-up research. I tried. I couldn't find anything concrete like it was, like he was saying, but it didn't mention about a current, but it said more so it's between Maui and the island of Molokai, but I don't know. So maybe it was exaggerated for TV, which, you know, wouldn't be surprising.
Right. That's Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. That's Hollywood for you. Got to make it more dramatic than it really is.
So there he is, lost at sea.
Well, he's not lost at sea yet. He knows exactly where he is.
Well, you're right, he does know.
It's the problem is getting back to where he was. So when they do pan out, when he starts swimming, when he pans out, you see him going the opposite way from his little surf ski thing.
Right.
I'm like, oh, that's not great.
Right. But so then we cut to Higgins and some old lady. Agatha?
Yeah.
Is that her name? Mm-hmm. Agatha. And they're just kind of walking and chatting and talking about polo. And some dude comes up and like makes a dig at Higgins about playing on the 4th of July. And so, you know, there's a little animosity there between.
Right.
Between them.
Yeah, he's like, oh, it's, you know, what do you say? It's ironic that we're having this big tournament on the 4th of July. You know, basically all the people on his team, I guess, are English. I didn't know you could find that many English people in Hawaii to get together to make a polo team.
Sure, sure, yeah.
But I did like his little outfit. I thought he looked cute in it.
Yeah. And then we move over. I was going to say we hop over to the Island Hopper van full of baseball kids.
By the way, he was a former SEAL. That's what he was in the.
Oh, was he? Okay, that's cool.
That's what I was trying to find.
I guess.
Okay,
that makes sense.
It makes sense that he can swim 3 miles. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then so the Island Hopper van full of baseball kids. TC's singing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game." And the kids are disturbed, so they turn the radio on, and they're basically like that song is corny, cornball, and TC gets this idea like, hey, maybe if we all sing together, it would make us a better team. It would be like a team building experience. So the kids aren't buying into it, but whatever, they roll with it.
Well, yeah, because he basically threatens like they're not going to go to the baseball game, that they're most of the way there already.
Right, right.
Which would be kind of cruel.
Typical parent.
Yeah, even though he's not a parent, but still.
Nah.
I will say that shirt that he was wearing, I had that same shirt in blue, but mine didn't say Coach. It said Nike on it, just an FYI.
Really?
had that little the white stripe that went across the chest like that, with the buttons and the white on the inside of the buttons. Yeah, that was pretty sweet. I think I actually have a picture of myself in that shirt in my sweet ass Vans back in around this era. Well, I can't post a picture because it also has my niece in it when she was young, and I don't think she wants to be on the podcast website.
You can, like, blur her out or something. You could blur her out.
Blur her out?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm wearing it in that one, but I'm not sure. All right, so what's next? So, so now we cut to Rick in his boat, and he's talking to the chef at the King Kamehameha Club. I remember he works there, and basically the chef is trying to go all fancy for the 4th of July. He's talking about all these different fish dishes and all this kind of weird stuff, and Rick's like, no, like he wants like hamburgers and hot dogs, like American food for the 4th of July. Now, granted, he's on Oahu, right? They're on Oahu,
right?
You're probably better off doing something else that's not 4th of July related. Just saying, for the tourists that are there. And that's, I guess, what they serve is mostly tourists, but whatever. And then
does Rick own the place?
He just runs it. I don't know how that, you know. Remember when we first met him in the first episode, he was kind of like a shady, like almost not drug dealer guy, but there was something weird about him.
He was. He was total underground, whatever it was.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But now he like runs the King Kamehameha Club, or I shouldn't say he runs it. He's like a manager there. But he almost gets taken out by the same boat that took out Magnum. So I guess we're supposed to kind of put together that they're close to each other.
Yeah.
And so he pulls out some binoculars because he gives it to the girl on the boat. He's like, hey, try to get a name or a registration so we can report these people to the Coast Guard or whatever. And she's trying, she's looking, and you can see it says hot and heavy. Yeah. But she's like, hot something. And then right when she says hot, we cut to Magnum saying heavy. It said, I know it said something heavy. He's like, I'm going to report them when I get back.
Yeah.
Or he's going to go look them up. He is a PI, so he could do that.
Sure. And you can tell Rick and Magnum are buddies because they both use the same slang.
Oh, yeah.
Because Rick also called them turkeys for cutting him off. So.
And with Rick's background, you would think he would have some more colorful language, but
right.
Or pull out some sort of weapon. But at this point, Magnum's 30 minutes into a swim, and he's further out because of that Molokai Express. So he knows things are bad. But I will say this. Yeah. This is only the first time I think that happens where they kind of cut the two scenes together where like someone almost finishes someone else's sentence in a different location. And they do that basically throughout this whole episode and kind of weave it all together that way. It was kind of a cool thing, I think. Maybe it seemed kind of cornball-y, like the kids would say on the show, but it was kind of, I think it worked out pretty good.
Yeah, it was catchy, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's caught in that current. And then he says, you know, after 5 hours, he was hoping that a boat would have picked him up by now.
Mm-hmm.
So time's quickly slipping through here.
Right.
And he's like, you know, no one's going to miss him for at least 72 hours because everyone knows he likes to spend the 4th alone.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to give him at least that day and then, you know, probably wait a day to see that he still doesn't come back. And
right.
Who knows? But...
And then we cut to him treading water with his dad.
Yeah.
And did you recognize his dad?
Yeah, it was that dude from Chips.
Yeah, Sergeant Contreras. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also known as Chris Pine's dad. But yeah.
Yeah. So he was Thomas Magnum Sr.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you noticed, dad called him Tommy Magnum. To the 5-year-old Magnum.
Called him Tommy Magnum?
And I thought that was a little young to be calling someone Tommy Magnum. I thought it would be like, I thought maybe he picked that up during the service, you know, his time in the war or whatever. But I guess it was just the family name.
Oh, Magnum? Oh, you didn't think Magnum was his real name?
No, I thought Magnum was like his nickname.
Oh. You know? I got you. I'm like, so what if he called him Tommy Magnum? I'm like, I couldn't.
Yeah, right.
I didn't know what you were saying. Okay, I got you. Yeah, okay.
But the dad, I guess, is going off to Korea. So they're having like a picnic or something at the beach. And dad's going off to Korea. And, you know, so Magnum's having some memories of, you know, breaking his water treading record with his dad.
Right. And you know nothing good's going to come of that, his dad going to Korea.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty well telegraphed, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fun thing is, I don't know if they did it on purpose, but his mom in this episode, she was it Nurse Cooper in MASH episode?
Oh, really? I did not know.
Which is set in Korea.
I did not know that.
Which is, you know, set in the Korean War. So I thought that was fun.
You think they pulled that all together?
I don't know if they did it on purpose. I mean, maybe they reached out to her for something like that. But, you know, because it was like 6 years after she was on the show that she was on this. Yeah. And it says only one episode she was in MASH. I swore she was in more, but I could be confusing her with somebody else in the MASH, like another nurse that popped up occasionally. I mean, I know there was one major episode with her, like not getting along with Hot Lips, but I thought there was more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think she wanted to be a doctor. I can't remember now. It's a long time. Anyway. Oh, yeah. So his dad's going off to Korea. And he tells him to take care of his mom. And he's like, when he comes back, he'll bring him a watch just like mine. And I do want to point out that people online, specifically there's a website called Magnum Mania. They say that the watch that I think his dad has didn't actually technically come out until after he would have died in the show. Came out in like 54 and it was like 51.
Way to ruin it.
I know. Yeah, because that particular type of Rolex didn't come out until 1954, and this episode was supposed to be 1951.
Like, that wouldn't bother me. That doesn't bother me as a, you know.
No, I wouldn't have known it as well. And someone also said that, you know, like we see his watch multiple times. He's checking his time, obviously, to see what time it is. And I didn't catch it, but they said like each time it's a bunch of times it's a different watch. You know what I mean? Like multiple watches.
Oh, really?
Like someone said that they thought they were testing out which one to use and they just kept all the clips in, but I don't know.
That's funny.
I would have to go back and watch it again to see.
I'll be honest, I only noticed it was the same watch at the end.
But, mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
All right, then we got a flashback to Vietnam where TC's in the chopper, and it's 4th of July again. And he's dropping Thomas off in the ocean somewhere, like 5 miles from. He's like, "Yeah, we're about 5 miles from the island. You can pick me up here in 2 days." Crap.
And this is where they're in Vietnam, like in the war. He's just gonna go.
Little R&R, yeah. So that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, and he's like,
"But that's where
just pick me up in 3 days." And he's got a board. And like a tiny little dog. What is he going to do? How is he going to survive for 3 days?
What's he going to eat? Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I know he's a seal, but like, are there animals on this island to eat? Is he going to just fish?
Fish? Who knows?
By the way, I do want to say, shoot, there was something I was going to say. He does mention that at this point, he's like wondering what the water treading record is. He's like, maybe no one knows. He's like, maybe someone said it, but is a chump like me and is gonna and died. He didn't say chump. I forget what he said, but something along those lines.
Turkey.
Also, did you notice like when he jumps off that helicopter and Nam on that board, like it's basically a surfboard then. No paddle either. He's just gonna paddle with his arms for 5 miles.
Oh, really? Or whatever. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
No. But that whole flashback in Nam was actually TC sitting at the ball game with the kids, and TC had that flashback.
Right,
it's like his memory.
Yep, or something like that. Or they're both remember. I think it was them. Yeah. But that's the whole reason why they say that everyone knows that he likes to spend the 4th of July alone, because he did then in Vietnam or something.
Right. Right.
I'm like, okay, sure.
Sure. Sure. Then what? Then the polo game. Back to the polo game.
Right. First, a baseball player hits a fly ball out to the outfield. The ball rolls, and then it cuts to the polo because someone runs by and smacks the ball with the polo. Polo.
The transition.
Stick? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, sure.
I know you played polo growing up.
Yeah. Yeah, my league for in polo. We call it a polo stick.
Polo stick.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a mallet, actually, now that I think about it, like the way it's shaped.
Yeah, it may be. It may be. Yeah, I want.
Are you looking it up?
I can, right. I started to. Then I'm like,
I look at
really
look
care,
at your.
So.
Yeah, I know. Look like you're starting to type.
I was, and then I just stopped because I'm like, why am I doing this? Okay, so at the polo game, Higgins is kicking up some dirt. Oh, and the other guy scores on him, like basically steals the ball from him. Again, I'm sure it's got some kind of term, but he steals the ball, and he gets like the winning point. And then after the game, Agatha's like, you know, she's trying to be like, oh, you know, too bad. Let's have some tea. And he's all bitchy. And she's like, well, you know, I think, you know, your plan to lose the game to them on the first day to give them, you know, make them overconfident, that's a good plan. So she's trying to like feed into him, like, you know, make an excuse for him. And then he starts to think about Magnum, and he's getting kind of a bad feeling. He just, you know, something's not right. He's sensing this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, because he says, like, Magnum's not here to ogle and swear. Wait, I said swear at him. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
and then
sure.
he feels guilty for saying it immediately because he's like, I feel like I've spoken ill of the dead.
Right.
And then
he's got some supernatural feeling,
right? And right when he says that, he cut to Rick talking about the bait being dead. He's cutting bait to fish, I guess.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The girl said something about live bait, and he's like, "No, it's dead."
Oh okay,
because it was dead fish, yeah.
Right. And they're like, I can't understand why we haven't caught anything yet. And then what do we see chasing them?
Shark.
Jaws.
Da-na. Yeah. Yeah. It's I don't.
What are you going to say?
I don't know what to say. I don't know. I don't know what to say about sharks in movies and TV shows, you know?
They seem to be much more menacing than they probably really are in real life.
Yeah. Or than not. I'm not sure. But yeah, so we see the fin. And it's chasing their bait, so he speeds up the boat, and the shark speeds up and chases after him, and eventually they outrun the shark, and Rick yells, "All right, sucker, go find something else to eat," which is really, because now we know that's a little foreshadowing, right?
Right.
So back to Magnum.
Right. Right. Cut immediately to Magnum. And now we're 12 hours in. And he starts talking to his dad again and saying, hey, every second's a new record. Bam. Then all of a sudden, woof, he gets hit by a fish. And he knows right away it's not going to be good. And it's right. The shark. I think it's the same shark. Remember, they are close to each other.
I'm sure it is.
Since they're
I'm
in the sure same bay. Yeah. By the way, he talks about his dad, I'm moving around, and wondering what the record is. I tried looking up the world's record for longest treading. I did see something that said something about 83 hours and whatever. But I couldn't verify that. On the Guinness Book of World Records, though, the longest time treading water whilst balancing a football on the head is 23 minutes and 2 seconds, just so you know.
Wow. They don't necessarily show it any other, like, any other way.
No, just like water. I just looked up world record for treading water, and that's what comes up on the Guinness site. I don't know. Maybe I should. I don't know. I don't know if this is the official website because it seems sort of sketchy. But I mean, it. I don't know. It's like a GeoCity site. I mean,
they're
almost.
Probably like look. Treading water. That's not enough. We need to add something to it.
There's most people treading water. Most
maybe
football
if you're
touches
spinning plates
with the head or while treading water in a minute.
Yeah.
Most consecutive football touches. There's so many with hitting the ball on your head or something with while
could
in
you,
the water.
I mean, could you just make one up? Be like treading water while reading a book. And then if it's only like 30 seconds, you've got the world record.
The most rotating puzzle cubes solved one-handed while treading water in 1 hour. Now you're getting pretty specific.
Yeah.
And that's all that comes up with treading water. And then we come up with the first fish to survive chemotherapy.
Oh, it, for the record, I can't tread water. I sink.
Really?
So I will, yeah, I'll just, like, I see Thomas doing that for like 30 minutes. Then like 5 hours, then 12 hours. I'm like, I would have been dead 12 hours ago. So
you got to relax. Maybe your bones are too dense.
Something's, yeah, I don't know. Something's not right.
Something's too dense.
Yeah.
Anyway, he determines that it's an 8-footer, the shark, and, you know, it's big enough to ruin his day. And he says, oh, God, I'm scared.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he cut to him talking to his dad about being scared of monsters.
Right. And his dad has like some good psychology. He's like, yeah, you know, you just give them a funny name and then they're not as scary. He's like, yeah, I know, you know, Herman, this monster Herman, he's not scary, you know. So then, you know, flashback to Magnum, he starts calling the shark Herman.
Right.
And then he tells us, he's like yelling at the shark, which I think I'd probably try to sit still as much as possible and be quiet, but he's yelling to the shark, you know, hey, Herman, what is this game? Ring around the Rosie? That's a girl's game. I'm like, thing that's going to bite you just for yelling at it, you know? Why it's not attacking him, I don't know, but it's like circling him. And
yeah, trying to figure
under
him out.
Any other circumstance, you know, you'd be eaten alive. But Thomas, he's like, okay, how about we play hide and seek? And he closes his eyes, and he counts to 10. And when he opens his eyes, the shark is gone.
Yeah. Was it ever really there, Mike?
It was there. It was there. Like, the whole time he's counting, I'm thinking, if that were me, like, every second, I'd be like, 1.
And open my eyes. Yeah.
2, it's gonna eat me, like, you know. But it's not attacking. So he kind of it's gone. So he just yells out. He's like, "Thanks, Dad. You know, good advice."
Yeah.
I guess.
Right, and
not like any of the other shark movies I've seen.
No.
But.
No, I do want to say though about naming monsters and psychology. So what I don't know what you did for your kids if they had any issue with that, but we had some issues. And we ended up using monster spray, as we call it. Basically, we would go and get the Febreze out of the cabinet and say, here, just spray monster spray, and it'll keep the monsters away. And then
that's
I remember
genius.
One time my wife's like, we should market this. And we obviously didn't. And then, like, 3 years later, we see, like, someone selling monster spray on TV. I'm like, or not on TV, somewhere. She's like, fuck, that was our idea.
Yeah, that
they worked out good.
That's a good idea
because you let them spray it. You know what I mean, and then
yeah,
they take care of it. Yeah.
All you got to do is
and
like make
good.
A label or something and sell it. And yeah,
right, TikTok, exactly. Your
coming soon to IUsedtowatchthis.com store. You'll find the monster spray.
Yeah, it's too late. We probably get sued.
Whatever.
But anyway, when Magnum says thanks, Dad. you hear Higgins say, "Saved you again, did he?" And he's talking to
Agatha. Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah. And they're playing chess, but like Agatha's like saying some stuff to him. And, you know, like, I don't want to say seductively, but kind of.
Yeah, she's getting hot, man. She's
and
like,
then, you know, he says the same thing. He's like, "I know what you're doing." Or, "I know what you're thinking." He uses Thomas Magnum's phrase. He's like, "I know what you're thinking." And then she's like, "Really?" And she takes off her glasses. He's like, "You're trying to steal my queen," or something like that.
Yeah, right. Some chess move.
And then she's like, "Oh, you're impossible." And she leaves in a huff to go get more tea.
Yes.
And then he looks out on the water and, you know, he says this, like, look, he doesn't say anything. And this is where I started thinking it was kind of like those Time Life books. Remember that we were talking about it before?
Oh, yeah, like, yeah. Like a man goes to Stonehenge.
Right, exactly. The daughter, 1,000 miles away, spills hot coffee on her hand. Her mom feels the pain. So
right.
It's getting a little bit like that. Like that was the thing that bothered me about this episode as a younger person. Not like when I was a teenager, probably like later watching it reruns. But and now it's still this part where like I can tell something's wrong. And I would think most people would feel something's wrong if they hadn't seen him in hours and his stuff was missing. Right. Then you'd be like, okay, I got a bad feeling about it. But being at a baseball game and just like, I have a bad feeling about Magnum, that's something I don't buy into myself. So
it kind of reminded me the last episode, like the, you know, where he's like in a coma and he's like visiting everybody. Like the
that is a episode. Terrible episode. Yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of reminded me of that one. But
yeah. I mean, not like this has never been done before. But yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Then TC, I think, is driving back from the game with the kids, and he sees a Ferrari on the highway, and it's not Magnum.
Yeah.
So
some woman driving.
Yeah. So everyone's getting, you know, everyone's got these eerie feelings.
I did like how the kid in the car is like, he sees the car, it's like, "Oh, Magnum." And then she drives by and he realizes it's not her. And the kid's like, "If that's Magnum, can you introduce me?"
Yeah, right. And the rest of the kid, "Yeah, me too."
Yeah. And now out on the boat, Rick shuts the boat down and saying that they got an engine out. It blew a rod. Is that what he said? I can't remember what he said happened. So he's telling the girl.
One of the engines is out.
Yeah. That, you know, they got to stay out in the water. They can't do the channel at night with one engine operative. And she's like, "Right. Are you sure about that?" You know, but she obviously, you know, I don't think she really cares too much. And
this is like on Happy Days when Richie's like, "Oh, my car ran out of gas." You know,
so exactly. On Makeout Mountain or whatever place. Where would they go to?
Inspiration Point.
Inspiration Point. Same idea.
Yeah.
This is where I was talking about when the boat was rocking. Like, they're just talking. They're like having trouble standing up. I'm like, all right, get me off that boat. But he sends her down for some wine. Like, he says, "I have some wine, like some 61 something." And she's like, "Oh, do you have any white?" or something. Or no, she wants
Bartles and James.
She wants rosé. Bartles and James. You got any Bartles and James? I love those two guys on the rocking chairs. And so she goes down to go. He's like, "I'll put out the anchor." And I don't know. I'm not a boat guy, obviously, by the way I'm talking. That anchor seemed a little small for that big of a boat, but maybe I'm wrong.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
No idea.
It seemed like something you would have like on a little canoe.
Like
you know what I mean?
like the kayak Thomas was on.
Right, exactly. But he pulls out the binoculars. He starts looking around and, you know, he's like, and she comes back up. He's like, "Oh, is the shark back?" He's like, "No, I don't know why I'm looking out there, you know." And I'm like, okay. And she does have some, I think, rosé. And he's like, "I didn't know we had rosé." She's like, "Oh, I mixed some white and red together." Like, ooh. And do you remember what Thomas Magnum is singing at this point after this scene?
No. I know he's singing. I just don't remember what it was.
Anchors away after he throws the anchor.
Oh,
in
wow.
Tying it all together, man.
It's all happening. Yeah, and he's singing, and then he just stops. He's like, I can't make it, Dad.
Yeah.
And then you hear his dad's voice like talking to him. Don't give up. Don't quit. So he's having like a little conversation with his dad. His dad's like, keep swimming. You got to swim. Keep swimming. And he's like, concentrate on something. So then Thomas kind of drifts off into, we see like his marriage, I guess. Like,
he concentrates on his dead wife. Bride. I'm like, I don't know if that's the greatest thing to concentrate on.
Yeah. And then, so he's like dwelling on that for a while. Then they come back and he's still swimming. So I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then he drifts back off into the, you know, the mental memories there. And it's like the end of the reception and Rick is given a toast. And he says, like, oh, this one will kill you or something like that. And as he says that, like, there's an explosion in the wherever that reception was. I don't know. Is that, like, out in the middle of the battlefield, I guess?
I think it was out in Vietnam, but, yeah.
Yeah. So Thomas is still swimming. Then we see him on his honeymoon, I guess it is. And they're, you know, they're kissing, and he carries her off to bed. And he's still swimming. Like this, his dad is just coaching him on. He's like, swim, you know. Oh, and then he transitions then to his dad's voice on an old tape player.
Oh,
so his dad's
in
Korea, and he like sent home a tape, which was pretty cool. Just saying, you know, hey, miss you guys, whatever. You know, I should be home by 4th of July. I love you, and you know, runs out of tape, and then you know, the mom's crying, and Thomas says, "Mom, don't cry. He'll be home by the 4th of July." So, I think we all sense what that meant,
right? What it signifies. Yeah. At that point, when he says that about it's the 4th of July, he's like, "Mom, that's only," and we cut to Higgins saying, 2 days.
Right,
and. Yeah. Basically, now TC is at the Robin's Nest, and with Hagen saying, you know, there to check on his place. And he says he has a feeling, and Hagen says that Magnum's in terrible danger. He's like, how do you know? And he's like, I have had the same feeling. And then, he just starts rambling on one of his stories that he always does. This happened to me once back in 34 or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And TC's like, whatever. I thought TC was going to leave, but instead he's like looking around his apartment. And he's like, hey, is that surf ski gone? And they're like, yeah. And that's when they realize like, oh shit, is he out on the open water at night?
Right.
With that tiny little boat.
Just like he does every 4th of July. But
yeah.
Then Rick wakes up and he says, he's in big trouble. So he like now he like it struck him as well.
Right.
So now he wants to go through the reef in the dark where he said he couldn't do it before. So he fires up both engines and he goes through and she's like, oh well, I knew it. And then Magnum's talking about, like, back in, you know, the service, he was able to identify boats by the sound so that he knew that the boat coming towards him was Rick's, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And right as he gets it within earshot, you know, Thomas starts yelling, the girl turns the radio on and kind of drowns him out, and they pass by Magnum. And he's yelling. Rick doesn't hear him. They drive past him. Rick's driving away. And I think Magnum asked his dad to do something.
Yeah.
And then we cut to TC, right? Talking
to
Rick on
the radio.
Well,
first the boat stops. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
And then, so he cuts. He's on the radio. He calls in to Higgins off the boat. And they're like, hey, and they're like, pulling out charts, trying to figure out where he's at, like where he is and where Thomas can be. And they're like, and TC's like, hey, just stay right where you are. He's like, don't tell me. He's got a hunch. Just stay right where you are. And then Thomas, we flash back to him as a kid, counting down like how many more minutes he has to go while, you know, for this record in the water while his mom's standing watching him. While in the back behind her, we can see a military vehicle pull up and a guy get out, like obviously coming to deliver the devastating news about her husband.
Right.
I'm like, ugh. And he's like, 30 minutes, 5 minutes. He's like, I just have to make it to sunup. And he figures once he gets the sun up, Rick will see him and he's all good to go. Although still he's a tiny little head in the water. But still.
Yeah, right. That they've been staring at for hours, so they probably wouldn't see anyway. But
yeah.
Yeah. And then, all right, so then the sun does come up and we see him as a kid treading water. He's like, two more minutes, one more minute. I think that's what you said, and the soldier drives up, right? Then I have, like, TC and the chopper. Oh, yeah, they fly up. So this isn't a flashback. This
they
is
waited
actually
to,
TC.
They, well, no, it's kind of both. It's back and forth. But TC does go out there, yeah, once daybreak hits.
So he is in the chopper, and Higgins spots Thomas in the water by the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas is at, like, 30 seconds, and Higgins drops into the water to save him. Probably not the guy that I thought would be the one to be jumping in to save him, but he drops in and Magnum like pushes him away.
Right.
He's like, wait, I need 10 more seconds. Screw that.
You know, he's delirious at this point.
Yeah, he's delirious, so he does it for the 10 more seconds, and we see, you know, he's like, we see him at his dad's funeral as a kid, and it's an outdoor military funeral. They do the 21 gun salute, and then, you know, at the end, Magnum as a child stands up and he salutes while they play Taps, and then you can see on his hand he's got the I'm saluting as I'm talking about this. on his hand he's got his dad's watch,
yeah,
which is the same watch that he has in the ocean with him right now while he's
right
going through this ordeal. So
yeah,
pretty cool to,
yeah,
it all tied in.
And at the very end of the part in the water, he's like, I made it, dad, when Higgins grabs him, and then the voiceover was like,
yeah,
why didn't you? I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Like, gosh, that, right, that was a little rough.
Yeah, yeah.
But
so
so like I said, when I was a kid it was boring,
right?
But as an adult, like, you know
takes on a little different perspective.
Yeah, exactly.
A little more life, you know. I can see why this. I don't know what the rating of this particular episode was. It'd be interesting to see that, but
I don't either. But it does seem like it was a popular.
It was a popular show, so I don't see why.
I think it was a popular episode.
Yeah. But I mean, this. What season was it? Season 4, episode 1. So season 4 was ranked 6th as a whole. But I don't know. I'm clicking here to see if it tells me what each episode was.
That seems good.
Yeah. I almost picked out when I was looking at episodes, but I didn't know if we should. Now we can't. But I came upon the crossover Simon and Simon episode.
Did you?
Yeah, and I'm like, but that's 2 episodes, and you know.
Yeah.
Thought that'd be a little much.
Is it a crossover like Simon and Simon?
Huh?
Is it like,
yeah,
Simon,
it's a crossover. Like they are out in Hawaii. Yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember if it starts. I think it starts in Hawaii and then it goes back to California. By the way, this was the 64th episode. That's why yours thing says season 4, episode 64.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I was looking to see if this thing told you the ratings. Go ahead.
I was just looking at the young Thomas Magnum was R.J. Williams. It doesn't look like he did any other shows or anything, but he is the CEO of a media company called Young Hollywood, and he let's see, nephew of. I don't know who these people are. In 2000, he created and produced and hosted Entertainment Magazine show called The Hookup. I don't know. I'll have to take a look and see if I see his social media info.
Yeah, I just want to say the stuff that he seems in, I don't know, it seems a little, I don't want to say shady, but it kind of seems a little shady. I don't know.
That's great.
Like there's, let's see, what is it? Fast, BBC World News, and chosen for the Hollywood Reporter's Digital Power 50 list, which said everything young Hollywood CEO and founder R.J. Williams does is counterintuitive and effective. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, he's got some social media out there, so.
Does he? You gonna?
I'll reach out to him.
After I just said that, he's gonna go listen to this episode.
Yeah, I'll point that out too. You might want to hear what they said about you on this show.
But yeah, no, I did the same thing. I went to look to see if he was, if he did any acting afterward, because he kind of looked familiar.
Yeah.
But I think he just looked like another kid actor back in the time, in the day, you know.
Yeah, all those kid actors.
They all looked alike.
Yeah, they did. What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, this is good. I like this episode. For sure. I don't know. It's a classic one, right? It's a classic Magna one.
It is. It's a classic for sure. Yeah. It's like I said, I remember it, you know, it's like, you don't, especially me, Mr. Memory. I don't remember a lot of things, but, yeah, that's a good one.
You remembered Inspiration Point from Happy Days.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That's true.
It was pretty good. Yeah. By the way, I posted it on Twitter. We hit 6 years last week.
Wow, believe it or not. Happy anniversary.
Yeah, 6 years. It's a long time for this. Just kidding.
For this or anything, really. Especially this, but.
Yeah. All right.
Good stuff.
I think the moral of the story is don't go out on the water.
Right, right.
Especially in a tiny little boat.
Bring monster spray.
Bring monster spray, shark repellent, and maybe a life vest would be a good idea. Or maybe don't they do that with like if you do open water things, like where you have like a thing so it's like tied to your wrist so you don't lose the boat?
Yeah. Or your ankle or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, not granted, this was 83. I mean, we didn't even wear helmets riding bikes or anything. We didn't wear seatbelts for the most part.
That's true.
Our car seats were just kind of rested on the seat, hoping for the best.
Exactly.
I mean, I wasn't in a car seat at this point, but
they padded the dashboards back then just in case.
Right. But. That's why. And you didn't have to worry about those pesky airbags coming out to slow you down.
Right.
Or punch out. All right. Anything else you want to say about this one?
Nope. Said it all.
All right. For this episode of Ice Watch This, I am Mike Forgetto.
And I'm Mike Sullivan.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
That's it for this episode of I Used to Watch This. Visit us at IUsedToWatchThis.com, Facebook.com/IUsedToWatchThis, Twitter @IUsedTheNumber2WatchThis, and Instagram.com/IUsedToWatchThis. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and wherever your favorite podcasts are available. Thanks for listening.